Hello and welcome to Say That Again Slowly, the Cambridge Festival podcast where students at Cambridge University chat with the experts who have contributed to the festival. We try to pair up students with researchers and authors from very different disciplines to bring things back to basics, so there are no stupid questions here. My name is Catalina Taylor and I'm a third year undergraduate student in English. Today I'll be interviewing Dr. Brian Ferguson, who is hosting a stand called How Do Vaccines Work, which will be at the Department of Pathology on the 23rd of March. So, welcome, Dr. Ferguson. Thank you so much for coming to chat with us today. To begin with, could you please introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi, everyone. I'm Brian Ferguson. I'm based in the Department of Pathology at the University of Cambridge. My laboratory that I run is here on Tennis Court Road inside the department. And we research in my lab, we research vaccines and how viruses are detected by the host innate immune system. So that's my research hat. I also do quite a lot of teaching for the department. So it's a teaching department where we have undergraduates on various courses, medicine and veterinary studies and natural sciences. And so I lecture and we run practical classes as well. And then in my sort of spare time, I am chair of the outreach committee for the department. And through that, I'm responsible for driving public engagement efforts from the department, which we have quite a lot. And obviously the Cambridge Festival is one of the most important events of the year for a lot of outreach efforts within the university. So that's a basically my background. Thanks for inviting me on here today.
A lot of hats there.
Yeah, a lot of different hats. That's right.
So thank you for that. So for my first question, I thought I'd really go back to basics and ask you, what is a vaccine and how does it work?
Yeah, right. So a vaccine is a prophylactic medicine. So that's a medicine that's designed to be given to healthy people to protect them against, usually against infection. So the most sort of commonly understood or commonly known about vaccines are those that are protecting people against infectious disease. And they're some of the most successful medicines that have ever been developed and have really massively reduced the burden of particularly childhood infectious disease in the human population globally. So they're a really kind of miracle of modern medicine because they've been able to be used so broadly and so successfully to reduce a whole range of different types of childhood infections and also in adults as well, but particularly successful for that role in reducing childhood infections. The way they work is really by training our immune system. So they're designed to show a bit or a little bit of whatever it is we want to protect against. So it can be a pathogen like a virus or a bacteria. So it's to show and to train our immune system to see those things as dangerous and to remember what they look like, to remember in the long term what they look like. And so if our immune system ever encounters those pathogens again in the future, our immune system can quickly mobilize and rapidly destroy those bugs before they have a chance to cause disease. So that's the main goal of a vaccine and how it works.
Okay, great. And I was quite interested in the hashtag actually that you had on the webpage of changing pathogens in a changing world. So are there differences in how vaccines work now to in the past?
Yes, absolutely. So the hashtag that we have there was an initiative really from the School of Biological Sciences to have a theme around different research areas that are going on in the school, because there are lots of different departments in the School of Biological Sciences and we're all researching slightly different things. And it's nice to be able to bring people together under different banners from different departments. So that's really where that came from. The reason that that's relevant at the moment is because obviously we've been through this COVID pandemic in the last four years or so. And one of the kind of key elements of understanding what happens with pathogens as they move between species, which is what happened to start the COVID pandemic. The really key thing is to understand how we can use the information from those different pathogens to make vaccines to protect us now and to rapidly respond to new threats that might be appearing in the future. So that's the kind of idea of changing pathogens in a changing world, is to be able to rapidly respond to things that are coming at us all the time, and to be able to react quickly to that, and to design medicines and including vaccines quickly, and to roll them out quickly. To go back to your specific question, I think one of the new technologies that's relevant to that is mRNA vaccines, which were or have been developed relatively recently in a kind of a new technology that wasn't available to us before the last few years. And the reason that they can be so useful in this context of changing pathogens is that they can be updated very quickly. So the kind of design and manufacturing process can be relatively fast compared to other vaccine technologies or vaccine designs. And that allows this kind of rapid mobilization of helps us rapid mobilization of making a vaccine that might not have existed previously, but to a new threat that is just appearing on the horizon.
Yeah, no, I was going to bring up COVID because I suppose obviously scientists had to react so quickly to that, and vaccines had to be rolled out incredibly quickly. So with the mRNA vaccine, is that also relevant for like flu, which comes back yearly, and as I understand, different strands?
Yeah, absolutely. So flu is a bit of a pain because we do have very good vaccines for it, but it is one of these pathogens that can change very quickly. And so knowing how it's changed allows us to make new vaccines. But obviously they have to be manufactured very quickly to respond to the virus changing very quickly. So there's like a race that happens every year that the virus changes, and then we update the vaccines, and then we hope that we're one step ahead of the game. But, you know, sometimes that works better than others. And definitely mRNA vaccines will be part of a arsenal of flu vaccines going into the future. But hopefully one of the kind of key goals for future vaccine development is to make a universal flu vaccine that will be able to be to give us protection against lots of different strains of flu all at the same time. So even if it changes a bit, we still have protection against it. And so then eventually, hopefully, we won't have to be vaccinated every year.
Yeah. So in terms of the actual manufacturing process, I have a bit of a hazy memory from GCSE biology, but I was wondering if you could give a bit of an overview of the actual developmental process in vaccine production.
Yeah, for sure. So one of the most important things about developing a new vaccine is to choose which bit of the pathogen that you're going to target. And the bit of the pathogen that you're going to target is called the antigen. And that's just really means the part of the vaccine that your immune system sees and remembers and then recognizes again in the future. So that selection process is really key to making an effective vaccine or an effective product. Once you've done that, you can then choose which kind of delivery system that you're going to use, whether that's an RNA vaccine or whether it's one that's in a different kind of vector, like it can be a DNA vaccine, they also exist, or like an adenovirus based vaccine, for example, which is what the COVID AstraZeneca vaccine used. So there's a bunch of different choices to be made about which part of the bug you use and how you choose to deliver that as a vaccine. And then once you've decided those things, you put them together, and then you have to produce the vaccine at scale, and that's done in large factories, depending on the type of molecule or the type of vaccine that you're making. That will be done by different factories. So, and there's lots of efforts going into the moment at the moment to building vaccine manufacturing capacity in the UK, for example, where new factories are being built so that if we need another new vaccine quickly, there's manufacturing capability in the inside the UK, so to make these things at scale that can then be then distributed to everybody as quickly as possible.
Right. And I'm assuming that your personal research sits at the start of that process then.
Yes, absolutely. So my personal research is interested in the very, very, very initial events of how both pathogens and vaccines are detected by our immune system right at the very beginning, and how that then triggers or influences the downstream next stage processes that leads to the development of what's called memory immunity. It's the memory immunity, which is the antibodies and T cell memory, that are the things that the parts of the immune system that help protect against reinfection.
Okay, brilliant. So the antibodies and the T cells, those are the body's natural defense then?
Yeah, exactly. And so what you're doing with a vaccine is training those natural defenses to recognize specific things and to remember them. It comes down to shape at the molecular level, basically. So what's the shape of this nasty bug? Can you train your immune system to remember that shape, and then when it finds that shape again, to attack it as if it's dangerous?
Gosh, that's fascinating, isn't it? I've
Yeah.
never really thought about it being about shape before.
Yeah, it's absolutely about shape. It's the an antibodies are tiny little molecules, and
Yeah.
they stick to things, and so that sticking is based on shape. So, very small shapes, but still shapes nonetheless. So you have to make the antibodies to remember that right, correct shape, so they can come back and find the danger that comes back later.
Which is so cool. I had another question, which was just specifically about definition. And this is quite a basic definition, but this work obviously takes place in the Department of Pathology. And I
Yeah.
was just wondering what exactly pathology means.
Yeah. This is a great question, because we're a department of pathology that no longer has really many pathologists in it, which is very
Right.
counterintuitive. So what pathology has become really in terms of research over the years is the mechanistic and molecular basis of disease. And so that really is any kind of disease, whether that's infectious disease, cancer, genetic disease, any form of human disease. Pathology, and the research that we do in the pathology department is all about understanding the molecules and mechanisms involved in how those diseases develop. And that means the research in pathology today in our department is really broad, because it covers all of those different types of processes that can result in disease.
Right. And I suppose also having to deal with new diseases coming up as well with
Well,
time.
yes, absolutely. I mean, that's absolutely the case. So if there are new diseases and there are new things to be researched, then people will naturally navigate towards those things as well. Yes.
Yeah. So I just wanted to move on to talking a bit more about the public side of vaccinations. Thank you for taking me through all the manufacturing stuff and very clearly as well. So we hear quite a lot about the debate about vaccine safety. And on the page, on the web page, then one of the first statement in the description is that modern vaccines are safe and effective. So I was just wondering what you'd say really to reassure someone if they didn't currently believe this to be the case.
Yeah, absolutely. So because vaccines are what, like I said right at the beginning, they're called prophylactic medicines. And what that means is they're given to protect people against future disease. They're not given as a treatment, they're given as a protective mechanism. That means vaccines are given to healthy people, right? And this is where the safety, the issue becomes paramount, because it's really, really gives a very high bar for the safety standard in order to be allowed to give someone a prophylactic medicine, because they're otherwise healthy people that don't need a particular treatment. It's protection against the future. And that means for vaccine manufacture and for vaccine trials, the bar for safety is extremely high, and it means they have to go through very thorough testing and safety testing in order to be allowed to be delivered in the clinics.
So when you get things on the news, which are you get these obviously these kind of scaremonger stories, those are not representative of the general safety.
So generally not, no. There's a lot of scaremongering and misinformation about vaccines that's delivered in all kinds of platforms, but really there's a huge number of institutions and people who are heavily invested in making sure that vaccines are very safe. There are always some side effects of any medicines, and those side effects are extremely well monitored and investigated. And again, that's really important because of the fact that they're being delivered to people who are otherwise, like lots of people who are otherwise generally healthy. So if
Absolutely.
anything does happen there, that has to be very robustly investigated, and is so.
No, absolutely. And I guess the next question would be, why is it so important to be vaccinated?
Yeah, so I'll take you back to the beginning, which is that the protection from especially from childhood diseases is extraordinary by modern day vaccination schedules. So if you're born in the UK, you're treated under the NHS, and you're automatically given quite a number of different vaccinations on a particular schedule between the age of naught and 15. And those vaccines protect against measles, against mumps, against diphtheria, against a large number of bacterial infections, against hepatitis B virus, against rotavirus, against loads of different diseases that used to kill hundreds of thousands of children every year in the UK. And so, that level of protection that's afforded by those vaccinations, it's huge. And it's massively reduced the burden of disease and death in the whole population. You can see what happens when those vaccinations are not delivered, especially the first one that appears reappears is always measles. So in a general population, the percentage of people having the MMR vaccine drops below a certain level, then almost immediately measles comes back and starts infecting children and starts infecting in that population. And that's been seen recently in the UK and in other parts of the world as well, because over the period of the COVID pandemic, there were lots of places where the vaccine uptake dropped below for MMR dropped below a critical threshold that then has allowed measles back into those populations. So it's actually very, so that's only within a couple of years, right? So it actually doesn't take very much for those infectious diseases to come back into populations as soon as people stop taking the vaccines.
That's slightly terrifying. No. Does that also have something?
That's the sort of thing that makes it really important that we do this kind of public engagement and effort to really make sure that people understand the value and understand the importance of those things, because it's one of those situations where nowadays it's quite rare to see those diseases, whereas before 100 years ago, it was extremely common in the population to see a lot of these diseases. So if you've been brought up in a world where those diseases, or in a community where those diseases don't really exist anymore, it's easy to think that it's not really a problem. Whereas in fact, your protective barrier that's given by vaccination can easily be removed if people stop getting to vaccinate.
And I suppose it's much, much easier for things like conspiracy theories to grow when people actually haven't seen these diseases.
Oh, tremendously much easier. You
Does it
see that.
also, I remember the in my brief study of vaccinations, I remember the word herd immunity coming up quite a lot, term. Is that also relevant as well?
Yes, it is relevant, and it has quite a difficult specific definition, so it's probably a bit too complicated to go into the kind of nitty-gritty details of what that means in terms of epidemiology specifically. But in general, what it means is having enough level of immunity within a population so that a pathogen cannot spread within that population. That's the kind of basic level definition of it. And so for any vaccine to function properly across a whole population, you need enough people vaccinated so that the pathogen can no longer spread around that population. So
So the
that is.
idea of it being important for you to be vaccinated for other people as well, then, as well as yourself.
Yes, absolutely. No, that's absolutely correct. It's good for the community. If you get vaccinated, it's good for everybody. And not just because you'll protect others, but there are people within the community who can't get vaccinated because they might have a specific allergy, or they might have an immune deficiency, for example, which means that the vaccines don't work very well for them. So you're helping those people as well.
Great. Well, you talked about the engaging the public, and that brings me back to the Cambridge Festival itself and to your stand. So what is actually going to be happening at your stand at the department?
So in this stand in the Department of Pathology, on my vaccine awareness stand, it's really going to be giving out people information about childhood vaccination schedules, and to give people information about how vaccines work in general from the standpoint of the immunology behind it. So the one of the backers that we have for this stand is the British Society of Immunology. And one of their real important public engagement efforts is to help people to understand the immunology behind vaccination. So just at the really basic level of understanding what an antibody is, how it works, why vaccines are important for inducing those things, and something about the mechanisms of that. So that's the kind of information that we're trying to give out.
And the idea is it's also going to be I can't think of the word available for children to understand as well, because
Yeah,
maybe it's
exactly.
a
Yeah,
family
so
day.
absolutely. So the stand that we're running, which will give out this vaccination information, is going to be embedded in a larger group of other platforms that we're going to have stands that we're going to have in the department on the same day. So there'll be people there showing about how to crystallize a protein, and how other diseases work, and what viruses look like. And, there'll be lots of interesting things for kids to come and play with and to get involved with those things as well.
Oh, great. Okay. And how are you publicizing it at the moment?
So we've been published. So we've obviously through the Cambridge Festival websites, and we have some Eventbrite booking pages as well, and we've got a bit of social media as well from the department. So we're trying to advertise that way.
Okay, brilliant. And you've kind of already actually answered my last question, which was, why do you think it's important to engage the public with your research? But I suppose, as a different last question, I would ask, what do you hope to come out of this day, of this family day?
Right, yeah. So two things really is, firstly, just for the kids to come and have a bit of fun. So there'll be lots of, like I say, there'll be lots of games for them to come and play, and hopefully they might pick up something along the way as well. And then their parents will be hanging around, and we can talk to them and give them as much information as possible about vaccines, about the work we do in pathology, and about other other diseases and about other issues that are happening at the moment. So those two things really.
Well, it sounds great. It sounds great for everyone involved, really. Thank
Thank
you so
you.
much, Dr. Ferguson. Thank you for coming today.
Yeah, you're very welcome. No problem.
Please do join Dr. Ferguson and colleagues at their stand at the Cambridge Festival, which will be at the Department of Pathology from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, the 23rd of March. Also, make sure to follow the Cambridge Festival on Facebook, X, and Instagram for more fascinating events.